Well, good afternoon, everyone. And for those of you that don't know me, I'm Patrick Dixon, Head of Engineering at the British Library. I'm going to hand over, just do a very quick introduction and hand over to Mark, our Energy Manager, because he's done all the work. The presentation today doesn't have a specific theme. It's more about energy management in general. But I think it's got quite a lot of parallels with things we've talked about in the past, and also things we've talked about today. And one of those was the display energy certificate. So you'll see a bit later, the library, like many buildings, and probably like many of the buildings of people in the room, also had a G DEC certificate. And we've managed to move to an E, and I've got ambitions to move to a C. I think just hearing earlier Paul's move to a B is absolutely fantastic, and I really think he should be congratulated on that, because it's just a tremendous result in a really short period of time. So well done, Paul. We've all got to catch up with you, I think. So just some quickly, for I know a lot of you are familiar with this, but just quickly for those of you that may not know the library, our estate now has been thinned down. We've now only got three buildings. And one of those, Colindale, is going to be closed next year. Principal building you're all familiar with, I'm sure, is St Pancras, flagship building. Boston Spa is also quite a considerable estate. It's 43 acres, 28 buildings, and actually the mix of collection between St Pancras and Boston Spa is going towards Boston Spa. By the time we close the newspaper library in Colindale, we'll have more material at Boston Spa than at St Pancras. We've got quite a varied estate, so although we've got the relatively modern building at St Pancras, Boston Spa is really varied. It varies from the 1940s to a building we're building right at the moment, high density storage building, which I've talked about in the past. We've got 275,000 gross square metres in the estate, 800 kilometres of storage, current reckoning. And it's quite a varied estate. It's obviously about collection storage. It's also has public areas, exhibition areas, restaurants, and reading rooms, of course. So then just very briefly, a bit of dimension around energy use. We spend £4 million on energy. That's already reduced from where we were probably 2 years ago. We're principally electricity users, £3.5 million of electricity. We also burn a fair amount of gas, 300,000 of gas, and also at the moment we still consume quite a bit of heating oil, because premises at Boston Spa use heating oil for heating. And we've got plans to do something about that. So we're a fairly large user. We are in the CRC scheme. I think on that note, I'll now hand over to Mark, who's going to tell you all about what we're up to about energy management at the library.
Hi there. Right, so what do we do for energy management? So for those of you who aren't involved in energy management, this is what we do. We collect data from multiple sources. We analyse and trend that data and take corrective action if required. We compile a monthly report and monitor performance targets and present the monthly report to estates management. And I'll go through in a bit more detail. So, data. Each month we take consumption and financial data from multiple sources. Firstly, we have Stark Save Energy Online. This is a web-based site that collects data from our supply meters using SMS technology. Stark also provide our utility companies with this data for invoicing purposes. So the data we see should be the same data we're invoiced on. Next we have Team. Team are a third party invoice verification company. We have a web-based site where all our invoices are scanned, verified and passed for payment to our purchasing department. Although there's probably some duplication in the analysis that Team and BL do, I find the web portal is useful for easy access of invoices and also running reports. The invoice data, though, is only available month plus one, so I include that financial data to report on the previous month's finance figures. And finally, I have Stark Reality. Now, this is a software package that runs on a local PC, but sits on the BL network server. It's a powerful and versatile program which we've had installed for nearly 12 months, and we're finding the reporting capabilities extremely useful. It collects from various sources, from submeters over our Trend BMS network, smart meters over the BL Ethernet, and gas meters via SMS technology, and electrical half-hourly meters, that's through the Stark FTP site. So we run reports on both the Stark systems and input this data into our monthly energy analysis Excel workbook, which is a bit of a large beast, but we use that to report to the library management once a month, which tends to be around the second Wednesday of each month, giving us about 6 to 7 working days to analyse and report on that data, which can be a little bit rushed at times. So this data is all collected on our monthly workbook. It's tabulated in the following format, with Stark consumption, invoice consumption, tons CO2, and the financial figures, and also the degree day data. Also compile quarterly figures just for our KPI reporting. I have one of these tables for each fuel, and all the data is pulled together, and we compare month-to-month data from previous years, giving a good summary. So we look at the difference in consumptions, what that is as a percentage, and actually see where we have any problems. So we record degree day data for each site. This is a graph for St. Pancras showing 2012-2013 figures, which are in red, which have been higher month-on-month compared to the last 3 years. So analysis can be carried out looking at the degree day data, comparing this with gas consumption and kilowatt hours to give a good indication of building performance. We apply a line of best fit, which gives a good benchmark. So above or below this demonstrates good or poor heating performance for the building. We've also just started using the BEMS to calculate humidification and dehumidification demand, monthly values using outside moisture content. Once we have enough historic data, we can start to use that to see, look at the performance of the building against moisture content to actually see where more attention is required to increase performance and reduce energy. So, the monthly report that we do covers 9 sections and covers all relevant areas. So, general observations of utilities across the estate, building consumption figures across the estate, and Boston Spa. We give a breakdown of there using all our submeters on the electric and the gas. We look at degree day data comparisons. We identify opportunities for energy projects, and we draw up an action plan giving project costs, payback periods, and energy savings. See which projects are viable to look for investment for. And we review our CO2 targets and current performance. And then finally, we include all graphical information and our supply meters, to show any trending. So we compile all this data and present it in a clear format to the library management and a team, and try and keep all levels of the estate involved to actually see what it is we're doing. For each building and utility, we give traffic light warnings that are indicating where we've made reductions or where we need to focus on due to increases in consumption. Performance targets. The British Library Executive team have set a 25% reduction target from 2009-2010 figures, so meaning we need to make an average at least 5% reduction year on year. If this is achieved, it will mean a saving of up to £1 million per annum from 2015 onwards, comparing to 2009. So far, if you look at the end of 2011-2012, we reached a reduction of 9.82% from the baseline, which was just short of our 10% target. This year is looking difficult due to the degree day data we've been seeing and compared to previous years, including the base year, but we're hoping to a strong finish in the year due to with various initiatives. Some of those initiatives are the ice store. We have an ice store which makes up to 13,500 litres of ice from a small 100 kilowatt chiller, which runs between 0 and -5 degrees. This provides us with emergency backup of cooling for our treasures cabinets in the event of main chiller failure. We've started to use this during electrical peak winter tariffs to try and reduce the load on our main chillers slightly. So there is a small saving on consumption at the expensive peak times, where a winter peak rate is around 10 pence per kilowatt hour compared to 6.5 pence at night. The winter chillers, we have a project for two new highly efficient modulating 900 kilowatt turbo core chillers, which will be installed alongside our existing three 3000 kilowatt centrifugal chillers, which are not so efficient at running at low loads. We've been monitoring our chiller load across site, and we foresee the new chillers, we expect the new chillers to be running the majority of the time, and the larger chillers will be run when we can use them at full load, and hence when they're most efficient. And we are expecting extremely significant savings for this project. We're also refurbishing our escalators to make them more energy efficient, with which this will give us around from 25 to 40% energy savings depending on passenger traffic on the escalators. The escalator automatically runs at a reduced speed when there's no passengers. The speed reduces from normal operating of about 0.5 meters per second to a standby speed of 0.2 meters per second. And it's a small saving, but it will give us approximately 10,000 kilowatt hours per year. Also with the winter chiller project, new efficient pump sets will be replacing some of the pumps from the original build. They'll be mechanically more efficient, and therefore electrical consumption will be reduced. I think that's going to be a big added bonus of the project. I think we'll be surprised by the savings we'll be gaining from the change of pump sets. We're piloting air handling units being turned off out of hours when staff have left working in storage areas. As there's no foot traffic and doors are kept shut, the retention of the conditions is working quite well. So, but when the sensor readings start to drift from set points, the units come back on again to bring back into the band. More LED lighting. We've installed more LED 6-foot tubes without the loss of quality. I think few years ago, LEDs were being replaced all over, but I think the lighting quality wasn't as good. So great, you make an energy saving, but you get a lot of complaints regarding the quality. So we replaced about 800 6-foot tubes. These only use 25 to 30% of the power of traditional fluorescent tubes, and the lamps that we've purchased offer 270 degrees of light output, and the library staff in the storage areas have provided positive feedback for these. I'll show a quick picture shortly. Also, we're looking at induction outdoor flood lighting. This is a very old technology, but it's appearing to be more suitable to flood lighting large areas rather than looking at LED options. We're also working with Collection Care to introduce season set points, as demonstrated by the National Archives. And we've also been doing some work on energy dashboards. So just a couple of pictures. There's our iStore. It's nine large tanks, 4,500 kilogram tanks each. And here's the so before and after, the difference between the fluorescent tubes and LED tubes. Both pictures have been used. Yeah, we've used the same exposure settings. So there's been very little difference, and as I say, the feedback from the staff in the area has been quite positive. Okay, so the last initiative I mentioned was dashboards. These are generated by a Stark Reality program, and it's automatically updated every 30 minutes. Having the Stark Reality program in place, this dashboard feature was very inexpensive to roll out. I think if we tried to look at this feature standalone, I think it is quite costly, but with already having the infrastructure in place, it's been relatively easy. So for electricity, we have half hourly data and the last 28 days plus a target, and the target which we've set is -5% of same day previous year. And this is also represented with the large traffic light graphic. For heating, we have yesterday's data and data from the last 28 days. And just on the bottom there, we've got just for employees to relate to what the figures actually mean generally, we've compared them to a medium-sized house using Ofgem's figure. An aim. It's very busy, but it's to have all the buildings' dashboards simultaneously displayed in the Estates Department, just so we can keep just have a good full overview of the estate. So, what challenges do we have on the energy management side? We've had many issues with water companies charging us to connect our data loggers to their meters, and then weeks later they come and change the meter and disconnect our loggers. We had gas companies changing ownership of gas meters, which results in requests for the gas meters to be changed. Changing our gas meters has been a relatively easy task for some of our buildings with small meters, which can be changed relatively quickly. But for St Pancras, it's needed a lot more planning, as it would take a full day. That's just the size of the main meter at St Pancras. Obviously, because this causes problems for maintaining conditions and providing the services to the public. So to lose the gas supply to St Pancras would take a full day, so we'd have no control on environmental conditions, as we use gas for heating, but also for humidification with gas steam generators, and we also have a gas dehumidifier. So we chose a time of the year which is relatively neutral for heating and humidification, and also planned with other works that we're carrying out on our chiller system. So we shut down all ventilation systems for a full 24-hour period. This was closely monitored, and many extra staff were present on site for a 24-hour period. We ran this from Saturday evening through to a Sunday evening, and the library was especially closed to the public on this day. Luckily, the change order was successful. I think we lost gas supply for a total of 6 hours. However, this did highlight some opportunities for future energy savings, just looking at how well some of these strong rooms maintain conditions during this time. As we mentioned, as Paul mentioned, the CRC, the Carbon Reduction Commitment. this was, I say, initially appeared complex, but actually was it. I think there were many consultants offering services, but when it came down to it, actually it was a relatively easy task once we figured out what we were meant to do. We decided to create a CRC document for the library that contained every detail that comes under the CRC and bring it all into one place. One, it makes it easier for auditing if an audit request comes up, but it also made it easier for us to keep all the data in one place. And finally, what is the future for British Library Energy Management? We hope to continue making energy savings and introduce new initiatives, but I'm also interested in pursuing certification in energy management for the British Library. Over the past few years, there have been many options, including the Carbon Standard, the Carbon Saver, and BS 16001, to name a few. But one which is relatively new, where I believe will be replacing previous standards in energy performance related certification, is the ISO 15001. This is a voluntary international standard developed by the ISO. They advise it will establish a framework for industrial plants, commercial, institutional and government facilities and entire organisations to manage energy, targeting broad applicability across national economic sectors, and they estimate that the standard could influence up to 60% of the world's energy use. And this is from the ISO. This follows a plan, do, check, act process for continual improvement of the energy management system, which enables organisations to interrogate energy management and with their overall efforts improve quality, environmental management and other challenges addressed by their management systems. As the list behind me shows, this provides a framework of requirements enabling organisations to develop a policy for more effective use of energy, fix targets and objectives to meet the policy, use data to better understand and make decisions concerning energy use and consumption, measure those results, review the effectiveness of the policy, and continually improve energy management. Now, this may sound slightly familiar, as this is something which I believe we're already doing without necessarily being recognised for it. So I hope we will actually achieve this in the not too distant future. Thank you for listening.